Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today, we're starting our journey through the, mini-series, Echo. Super fun, super exciting. The whole season is out right now, but we're going to go one episode at a time to give you all the good details and insider information that we think is pertinent. And just, you know, what we thought of the episodes. So we're obviously starting with episode one. And a quick, recap, I guess. You kind of get this in the... in the series too, but just in case anyone is confused or doesn't remember what's going on, this kind of picks up both after with a little bit of before Hawkeye, where is like the first time that we are introduced to Echo in the Marvel universe. So that's kind of what we see. You know, Hawkeye ends on such like a crazy cliffhanger ending, like what happened. And this season starts, and I feel like it didn't pick up immediately with what happened. So I was like, no, but really, what happened? So we'll get into that, though. So I guess first thoughts for this first episode.
We going first episode or the whole season?
We'll just do first episode.
All right. Okay, so... So I didn't get like spoiled per se going into this, but I did catch like about the intro, which is basically, don't worry, like you're not watching something else. Like it is Echo, because man, the intro is out there, which a lot of this stuff is. And yeah, definitely had me intrigued on where they're going to go with all of this. And we'll eventually get to it. But, you know, this is a good setup episode. We get a lot of, like you said, you know, this is connected with Hawkeye. So there are a lot of moments that are kind of reflected back in that. So you do, you get that time jump of back and forth of like the origin with Echo leading up to like where we're at today. But overall, I thought they did a good job with it. But it was pretty good setup to really understand the roots of this character and kind of set up the where we're going to go with the season.
How about you, Lisa?
I really enjoyed this first episode. I wasn't entirely sure of what to expect from Echo, because I knew it would be different from the other Disney Plus series that we watched, but I also wasn't sure how much it would have in common with the things like Jessica Jones and Daredevil, like the Netflix series. But I really liked it. Maya is such like an interesting character, and I find myself rooting for her, even though what she wants to do is crime. Like her goal is to like take over Kingpin's criminal empire, which I'm hoping she decides it's maybe not a good idea. But yeah, very interested to see where the rest of the series goes after this. And yeah, even though this has been a little bit darker, I think, than the other Disney Plus series, I found myself cringing a lot less than I did watching Jessica Jones. So that is good.
They did give you the mature warning before a few of the episodes. But
yes.
You get those moments. I don't think they went to the degree like Netflix went.
Oh, no.
But definitely, like you said, in terms of like the Disney Plus series, yeah, this is definitely probably the most mature one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I will say that like for it being a shorter series, I felt like we were going to get stuck with a lot more backstory, than we did. And this first episode really like just kind of cleared up what was going on before, and like it was like real fast, like here's what happened. Well, I guess it wasn't real fast, but it was like, here's what happened to Maya as a child, here's what happened to Maya when she was working with Kingpin, like raising through the ranks, here's where she is now, and then the season like starts. And it's still like we get some of that, like, you know, flashbacks and what was going on before and stuff like that, but it felt like, for them having such a short season for this, I appreciated that up front they hit us with like quick things. It wasn't like an entire episode on her as a child or an entire episode on her dealing with Kingpin. It was just like, no, you got like a quick montage of her like rising the ranks with Kingpin, and you know, her childhood story was traumatic and violent, and it happened pretty quickly. It was like one of the first things that you see. So it was like, okay, all right, well, now we can move on. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say there's a lot of detail in this series that I think does what it needs to do to set up like when everything's taking place, and we'll definitely get into those for being such a short season, you know.
Mm-hmm. I will say, like, with how much I have enjoyed it, I wish that it was longer. Yeah. 'Cause it feels like they could have fleshed a little bit of this out some more, and not in like a negative way. I don't think there was anything that felt like super rushed or like crammed together, but I think there could have been an episode on her. Like,
I think if when you understand the character from the comics and those stories, mm-hmm. it definitely makes you want more, because mm-hmm. there are some really cool stories with Echo.
Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, hopefully, you know, I don't really know what happens to make them like feel like they rushed this series to get it out, and then we're like, never mind, we're not going to do a full season, though. Never mind, we're not going to do a regular release, like here it's just all here to watch. So I don't know what, like, I'm sure it was like a couple things that caused that to happen, but
was this
I'm hoping
right
that
during the strike, is that possibly what it was? Was they just had to piece together what they had?
I thought that this series was done, at least done filming, before the strike happened.
I thought so too.
Maybe.
And I know like editors were wrapped up in the strike as well, but it just seems like, you know, they had the stuff. I mean, maybe they didn't. I don't know. You know, we don't work for Marvel, so we don't know. But
yeah.
I will say there was one thing that stood out to me in this first episode that I just couldn't get over. Relatively early on in the episode, we see the scene that we saw in Hawkeye, where Ronan comes in and kills Maya's dad. which like kicks off Maya trying to find Ronan. But then we also see a fight between Maya and Daredevil, which was like, wow, Daredevil's in the first episode of this? Like, all right, coming in hot.
Yeah.
And the fight was really cool, except there's a moment where they go inside like a gun cage. And when the camera spins around, all of a sudden, both of them are CG doubles. And they do like two moves in the fight where they are full CG people, not actors. And then he like pulls a, I don't know, like a rack or something down on her. And then it cuts to back to regular actors. And I just don't know why they did that. It's not awful, you know, like if like pretty okay CG is fine, that's fine. But it just seems so glaringly different going from people to these weird like noodle armed CG people. Like I'm pretty sure at one point the Daredevil's leg like bends in an unnatural way when he's like swinging a kick. And I was just like, what is this? Why did they do this? Yeah. And it's only for, you know, 2 seconds. It's not long, but it just seems like, God, wouldn't they have just like redone that take so they got it right instead of CGing them? I don't know. That was my only like negative thing.
I'll be at that moment soon. I've recently started rewatching episode one again because I think there's so many little details, like even just starting to rewatch it, I've already found like things that kind of like come full circle, you know, that I didn't pick up on through the first watch. Since this episode has come out, there's been so much news around Daredevil, specifically, I guess, Daredevil Born Again, where Daredevil sits within everything. I'm questioning how much of it is valid, right? So, like, the biggest piece of news that I read was that Daredevil, so basically, if I remember correctly, it was Daredevil, Kingpin, and Maya were not blipped.
Okay.
So this fight, they're saying, was like during the blip.
Okay.
But I think where we see with Kingpin and his role makes me question of like what was going on during that period. Like what could have they been doing? Because it seems like if Kingpin was around during the blip, like he would have been a little bit of a higher status than he is today, per se. Mm-hmm. But also, like, the details around this is that when Kingpin gets Maya, it's before Iron Man's create, like Tony becomes Iron Man. So it's like Kingpin's been around through all of the MCU.
Right.
So I just want to know, like, I'd rather have this been extended to see like what they were doing during the blip, you know, to know, like, to get more of the role of like where Daredevil's at, what's his connection with Kingpin, like what, like how what's been going on there, and how kind of Maya fits into that more.
I mean, especially because like if they were going to say that they were here during the blip, and maybe the scene, like maybe Hawkeye happened before the blip, then I could buy it. Like,
yeah.
So basically what we see, you know, for any of you who don't remember, Hawkeye ends with Maya like stopping Kingpin in an alley and then pointing a gun at his face. And then we hear the gunshot, but we don't see what happened. So in this episode, we learn that she did shoot him in the head, but he survived that. And so it's like, okay, like if this happened during the blip, that could explain why he's not a higher status than he is now, because he was recovering from a gunshot wound to the face. Yeah. But yeah, it happening after the blip, it's like, well, how fast is he gonna heal from this? And to your point, like, does he have a high standing, or are we supposed to believe that the original Daredevil show happened during the blip, maybe? And so, like, if none of them got blipped, then that's why all that happened, and we don't, they're not going to explain it, because they're like, yeah, yeah, all that happened during the 5 years that everyone was gone. And it's like, oh, okay, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I think that's fine, but there could be more.
Yeah, and we know that Hawkeye took place after the blip, because like Clint had his kids back and all that sort of stuff. Like it was after, but they kept flashing back to when he was Ronin. So yeah, like Maya could have definitely been working with Kingpin during the blip if none of them got you know, snapped. But yeah, there's no way that this is set during the blip. This is definitely after. And also, how do you get shot in the head, through the eye, and live? How?
Yeah, now we have, like, comic-accurate Kingpin. He can just tank literally anything, and he's fine.
So, does that... Okay, since I don't know much about Kingpin, does he actually have powers, or is he just huge?
No, he's just
thing being huge?
Yeah, he's just a big guy. That he's just, like... He's got insane human strength, basically. Mm-hmm. It's not like cosmic strength or anything. It's just like he's just that built.
He's just real meaty and big. Because
in the comics, right, it's like both of his eyes or something, right? I think the bandages covered like all of his face.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and in...
Which didn't, okay, now I got to circle back. Didn't in Ben Affleck's Daredevil, didn't Kingpin have an eye patch in that movie? I can't remember. I thought he did.
I don't think so.
I never watched that one. I wasn't a big enough Evanescence fan.
Oh, well, we have to do a throwback. We've got to.
Well, yeah, we'll have to do that before we start. We've got to do that this year.
Oh, it's my
the
goodness.
Movie that created Bennifer 1.0.
All right. This was Michael Clark.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
Michael Clark Duncan.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, I thought for some reason, I thought he had like an eye patch in that movie, but maybe not.
Yeah, that's a crazy movie. I just remember that I always remember the scene where Bullseye's on the plane and he flicks the Skittle into the lady who's snoring's mouth so she chokes to death. And it's like, wow, okay. So in this episode, we see sort of like the, you know, we see Maya's childhood and we see sort of her rising the ranks in Kingpin's organization. And then we see like the current time, and it's like the aftermath of her shooting Kingpin. So she's run away from New York. She's going back to her hometown in Oklahoma. And it's weird because like some of the people seem like excited that she's back, but then most of them kind of seem like, why are you here? Like you shouldn't be here. I don't know what in, you know, I'm trying to pretend like I hadn't seen all of the episodes. So like in this episode, you get the feeling that like something sketchy is going down in this town, right? But they don't want Maya there because they, you know, she joined the life of crime. But it's like, well, you all don't really seem like you're on the up and up, if I'm being honest. So
yeah.
It's a strange feeling. And I don't know if they're just like, we know the Kingpin, so we don't want you to bring him here. Or I don't know.
Well, it's, yeah, it's like, it's more so Fisk, the business owner, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, his name's everywhere. See, like, I want to season Kingpin now, just like in this world to understand, like, how far, like, how, who all knows about Fisk, right? Like, what businesses mm-hmm. is he running? What are they doing? I think that would be cool. Yeah, I feel like that's what it's got to be. It's like they know, you know, with her dad and his association with Fisk, and then, you know, Maya's basically, you know, right under the wing of Fisk. Like, she calls him uncle. Right. So, like, I feel like right. that's got to be, like, it, right? Like, they just, they're fearful, maybe. They know right. they're doing shady stuff, but, like, they know what Fisk is capable of, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I guess if all of this is supposed, you know, again, it goes back to, like, what do the people of this universe yeah. I mean, know it's like about him?
Near the beginning of the episode, you know, she's getting in trouble with the cops and he just rolls up and, like, they're trying to stop him and he just walks straight up and, like, takes her away. And you just hear the cops like, do you know who that is? Do you know who that is?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they have a weird relationship too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the whole thing is that, like, he says he loves Maya because, you know, it seems like he's using her, right? Like, she was strong enough to fight with Daredevil and not, like, completely get knocked out or die, mm-hmm. which they make it seem like Daredevil kills a bunch of people, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the flip side, he has an interpreter every time he talks to Maya.
Right.
And it's like, wow, like, you couldn't even take a couple seconds to, like, learn ASL to speak with Maya. Instead, you, and I don't know if that's, like, I mean, you know, watching it, you think, like, well, yeah, Fisk is full of himself, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's his whole character, is that he's like, I'm in charge and I'm going to be in charge. So I think it's fitting for his character to not even bother, like, learning ASL or any other language. You know, he's like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do and you're going to deal with it.
Be okay with it. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I will be honest, when I was watching it the first time through, I was like, this kind of seems lazy. Like, they didn't want to have to, like, write in scenes where people were signing to each other. So instead they just let him have an interpreter, which then there are other times where there is, like, full conversations in sign language. So it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what it was. It's just his character mm-hmm. flaw. But the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, come on, boo.
Yeah, I definitely interpreted it as, like, he's supposed to be, like, so caring so much about Maya and, like, that's her uncle and all that, but he never learned to communicate with her, like, one-on-one. Never, never even picked up a few signs, nothing. Like, yeah, so every time, like, that obviously got, as if he hadn't done enough, that got Kingpin on my bad side. And everybody who was a jerk to her in, like, all these different ways. You've got the guy who like, grabs her whenever he's supposed to be checking her for guns and things, and she rightfully kicks his butt. And you've got people who are kind of, like, jerks to her just because she's deaf. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Get your lives together.
It's, I think that we're in a place where, like, Daredevil could be the next, not Daredevil, Kingpin could be the next of those, like, really good villains that you just, like, really hate. Because you're like, wow, he's just a terrible person. But it's also, like, for the story, it's so intriguing. And he's, like, a good villain for the story. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like sometimes we get villains that are like, okay, yeah, cool. You're a bad guy. I get it. Like, what's the guy in Ant-Man? In the first...
We lost your audio.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Okay. it feels like in the first Ant-Man, Yellowjacket's whole story is just like, boo, I don't care. Like, this is the lamest supervillain. Like, let's hurry up and beat him and get to like a good supervillain. Thanos, good supervillain, right? The whole time you're like, wow, this guy's terrible, and I see why he's scary. He's a good villain in a movie. And I feel like we're getting that with Kingpin. I mean, he was already really great. Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin was amazing in the Daredevil series.
Oh.
So
to me, like, if you just see this actor, like, that's, he's Kingpin. Like,
right. So now we're getting him again, but like they're leaning even more into him being like a comic book character villain. And it's like, yes, like now he's reached his like full potential.
Yeah.
So,
oh, and
if you're listening, like, Marvel execs.
Like the white suit version Kingpin is just like spot on. Just what I remember from like Spider-Man series, animated series.
Like, right. Yeah. Yeah. Give us the Kingpin show.
Yeah.
That would be great. Well, I think overall I really enjoyed episode one. I think it was a good way to start. It really like laid the foundation for a story moving forward.
Let's talk about the intro real quick. Like, what are y'all's takes on that? Like, you know, we're kind of set up to like go through Echo's, you know, ancestors, and this kind of travels through time of what we see. But like who do you, like, I don't know, this is supposed to be like the first Choctaw, but they seem, you know, they're not human. Like, what do you think they are? Like, what do you think this is supposed to be or setting up?
So I will be honest. In the first episode, I feel like I didn't really even think about it. In the second episode, the way that it starts made me like, oh, hold on. What's going on here? Is this like a character? And I'll admit, like, I know who Echo is. I haven't read like a bunch of Echo comics, so I don't know Echo's whole story. My initial thought was like, hold on, are we like pulling in Kahori and that storyline from What If? Because I was like, I don't know what's going on here, but there definitely seems to be some sort of like inhuman, what are those? I can't think of what they're called.
Eternals.
Yeah, Eternals, like cosmic vibe going on. And it's weird because it's like, where, how does this fit in here? So, you know, I think that's where I landed with it, was that like, oh, is this, are we trying to pull that Kahori storyline in? Even though I'm pretty sure when we talked about that series, that isn't, Kahori was like a character that was made specifically for What If.
Yeah.
And she's part of the Mohawk Nation in their Choctaw. Kind of different. I had assumed that the people in the intro were like spirit beings. I didn't think about them being like, you know, mutants or aliens or anything like that. And I also didn't know how much, like, I watched that video that talked about how closely they worked with Mohawk Nation, not the Mohawk Nation, but the Choctaw Nation. And creating this episode, or with Mohawks on the What If episode. And so I was wondering if they were pulling from like actual like Choctaw creation stories. So I didn't know if this was a really close representation of that, or if this is something new that they've created, or it's a little bit of a mix of both. But it does seem like, regardless of any of that, these are Ma's ancestors.
No, that's valid. Points and questions. I would say, listeners, if anyone has a reliable source, let us know so we can read into it.
Yeah, definitely. I really like, I think, and this is part of the reason that I like this series so much, like how much stuff they did include. And this whole part of the storyline, like her ancestors and stuff, was so cool to see in the show, even though for like the majority of the time, whenever it happened, I was like, oh, cool, like another ancestor part. I had no idea what the connection was.
Right.
I was like, I don't know. I didn't think that Echo had powers. I thought she was just super strong because she trained a lot. I didn't, you know. So the whole time I was like, what is going on? Like, what is the healing hand? What is, I don't know what's happening, but this is cool. So it'll be fun to dive a little bit more into that with some of these future episodes.
Yep.
Were there any other talking points you guys had? Did we miss anything?
No, I think we covered, you know, episode one.
Yeah. 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 A good first episode. So if you haven't watched this, definitely go check it out. The entire series is available right now on Disney Plus. Also, if you haven't seen Hawkeye, don't start with Echo. Start with Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Just so you have a little bit of background.
Even though this is supposed to be a standalone series, that's why it has the neat little, the new banner, the Marvel spotlight.
The Marvel spotlight.
Yeah.
But I would say if you're like us going through an ice storm, and Hawkeye is kind of like a holiday-ish, wintry special, like that would fit perfectly.
It's cheerful.
Yeah.
And it'll cheer you up for sure.
Well, definitely join us next time. We'll go through episode two and continue the story of Echo. For this week, did we do a question last week?
Didn't we plan one for this week?
I think we planned one for this week.
That's right. We did plan one for this
week. But I'm not. I probably should start taking notes.
Speaking of, I think my notebook is at the office. Do you remember what we planned, Alisa?
I do not. I simply remember that there was a plan, and I was like, okay.
Okay. Well, how about we'll bump that one to next week? Because I can't remember what it was either. But I'll get my notebook tomorrow. Or I guess in 2 weeks. Anyway, so this week's question will be, what version of Kingpin that we've seen so far do you like the most? It could be live action, it could be comic, it could be Kingpin from Spider-Verse, you know.
Spider-Verse, like... yeah.
So tell us what your favorite version of Kingpin that we've had so far is. We'll give you our answers next week, and we'll have a good question for you next week too. So thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.